Okay. Is there any questions? Yes. Okay, I've worked under all of the question is, does the wear make a difference? I've worked under all situations, and at least with our practice, this is primarily a renewal practice, and we get clients by referral. It hardly makes any difference. It's more a function of size. Like in Tucson now, we're getting more clients. It's just getting too hectic, and probably in a year or two, I'm going to have to open a separate office. It does make a difference when you're getting either weak referrals from someone. You know, like I had a gal who referred her boyfriend who was a doctor who made a lot of money. Well, she doesn't have a lot of credibility with him. And so when he came to my condo, you know, he says, I've never seen anybody work out of a place like this, you know. But in San Francisco and Florida, I work out of hotel rooms. And if it's a strong referral from them, then it doesn't seem to really make any difference. If you're doing maybe seminars or you're getting it from non-client referrals so people don't know what to expect, then it probably would make a difference. But I think it's more a size of your practice for how long it works. What about the... Oh, making house calls. I did try that. That doesn't work because you really got to charge for travel time. And then it becomes too expensive. Plus, when you're at their house, then the phone rings, they got to talk to them, their kids come in with a problem, and then they never get ready for you. Oh, I know, it's right here in my file cabinet. I know just where it is. And it takes a half an hour to find it. I found that absolutely does not work, going to people's houses. No, I don't act as a trustee. Mostly because of the liability and because of our target market and my mission statement. That's not what I want to do. And that doesn't lend itself to cookie-cutter approach. I mean, the stuff that we do, bam, 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 bam. You know, we can really knock out the appointments. It's a very high level, and we get a very high rate of implementation with clients. Oh, well, for example, we have a lot. The question was, our services are so comprehensive, how would these gatekeepers send us clients? Well, probably our primary gatekeepers are therapists. We have a lot of therapists, and they send us a lot of their patients or clients, or whatever they call them. Lawyers, we have a lot of lawyers, and even though we do wills, we don't do trusts, we don't do buy-sell agreements, we do simple wills. That's it. And so they're glad to send us clients because we can send them trust work, and they like that. We don't get very many referrals from CPAs. But we don't do business returns either. I mean, you know, we don't do any corporate returns. Yes. Cambridge is a corporation, but when we do wills, I mean, I have my own law license, and my law office is at my home rather than at there. And Cambridge pays me separately for that, and it's done separately. It's just like in Tucson. No, we have. But they're not paid as employees. That part of their compensation comes separately. Right. Clients moved, and you know, they kept trying to get me to go out there, and I'd say, well, give me three more clients and I'll go out there if it was someplace I wanted to go. You know, I don't go to South Dakota or something. Right. San Francisco, okay. Tampa, yeah, all right, you know. The question is, are our associates employees? Yes, they are technically. We all get W-2s, but we have a complicated fee split system, and we're paid based on the work that we do for clients. And so there's a bonus at the end of the year based on your allocations minus expenses that are charged against that. But we do end up with that. But in fact, it's people are paid based on their productivity, not on a... The question is, how do we get into working with the analyst to begin with to get the referrals? And I, you know, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of left brain kind of approach. Analysts really like this approach because they come to us with a lot. I mean, most of our clients, to some degree, are dysfunctional about their money stuff. Therapists are really dysfunctional about their money stuff, and it scares them, you know? And when we lay this out, like the record keeping, and we lay it out, and it's a very structured program, they really like that because they get good advice, plus you're accessible to them. Well, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, massage therapists. We have a lot of massage therapists. Actually, in Cambridge Gold, I think we have 3 massage therapists who are in Cambridge Gold. I mean, they have an hour to talk to people about anything, right?
Do you find it cumbersome
to register in each state where
a client
is? Yes. I don't handle that. That's Tiger's department. I'm out from under that. I didn't do it for a lot of years, and now I do it. So.
Can you elaborate on a point in your outline? You say specific investment recommendations is a liability problem.
Okay. A lot of CPAs and people who are starting out, they don't like to say buy this mutual fund or that mutual fund because they're concerned about the liability that would attach to making those specific recommendations. I went through that myself, but I find that if you're doing the decent documentation, you're checking their risk analysis, we type up our recommendations and tell them why we're recommending these. I've never had a problem with that. Markets up or down, and people want to know, what should I buy? To turn them loose and say, well, you should get municipal bonds and some growth funds, really does, you know, the chance of getting implemented are zilch. The question is, are we doing enough insurance analysis that we are registered or should register? In Michigan, I know I'm exempt because I'm an attorney, and the person who does most of our insurance recommendations is licensed or getting licensed. And in the other states, I'm a registered financial advisor in the other states, and there's only once that an insurance salesman got after me, and when I said I was a registered investment advisor and I was advising it from the investment standpoint of it. Nothing came of it, so I don't know. I don't sell insurance, so, you know, I just give them 800 numbers.
If you wanted to hire another associate today, where would you find this person? What credentials would this person have and experience?
Okay, if we're going to hire another associate today, what kind of credentials and experience do we look for? To be a full associate with our firm, someone has to be licensed to practice before the IRS. That means they have to be an attorney, a CPA, or an enrolled agent. Plus, they have to have a CFP or equivalent. And we take on people as sort of beginning associates if they have one of those two, and then they work on completing the other one. We've experimented a lot of different ways, hiring people that have one and then trying to train them. What we've kind of concluded at this point of our development is we have a strong paraplanner program where the paraplanners really track the clients. They sit in on client appointments. They handle all the routine questions for clients. And what I found, like in Tucson, where I've been doing this for a while, I mean, Kathy is finishing her CFP. When she is, she's ready to be an associate because she's trained, you know. And so right now what we're emphasizing is hiring people like with a degree and who are interested in getting into this and starting them as paraplanners, and then as they work through their CFP, then we bring them on to associates, and then they become a full associate once they become an enrolled agent, if they're not a CPA. Yeah, what are the insights on marketing to salary employees rather than self-employed people? And salaried employees, we have like a lot of GM people in Ford and Chrysler. And first of all, they usually don't fully utilize their 401k, and their 401ks are baffling to them. The second area is that what they really usually like are the record keeping and getting it organized, getting goals, knowing how much they need to save for their particular goals in mind. It's much less a tax approach, but the other parts, particularly the investments of the 401ks and the other ancillary things like the wills and that kind of stuff, you know, and the way our formulas work, they don't get charged as much either. So then, of course, when you get high level, like we have GM executives, and then you start working with stock options and stuff like that, so those, they need a lot of help on those. Okay, we sit down, we go through their policies, we figure out how much life insurance they should have. We end up with a minimum and a maximum, because some people love insurance. Okay, you shouldn't have more than this. You know, if your beneficiaries are better off economically with you dead, you got too much insurance. Okay. No matter how much you hate insurance, you should have this much. Then we go through the policies that they have. We use Weiss rating to evaluate the companies, and then we look at them. If they're in a whole life policy and they've been there a long time, usually there's a little worksheet we work through. It doesn't pay for them to get out. If, however, they've only had it a year or two, then we'll show them, you know, this is how much you're paying and this is how much the cash value is going up. You'd be better off buying term. Then either we'll give them the 800 numbers or I'll call down to fee-for-service and get a quote for them. And then fee-for-service will actually do all the paperwork to do the insurance.